Brethren, though we're kind of few in number, what I have to give you tonight that I put on my heart, I feel it's very important.
Because, brethren, I want us to enter into this new year right where we need to be, filled with God's Spirit, filled with God's power. And, brethren, we don't know what this year may hold in any way or form. We don't know. The Lord may return. We know we're getting closer to that every day. We don't know what will happen to us, our families, our nation. We just don't know. I do think with decisions our country's making, we are in some deep trouble. Once again, a couple of weeks ago, we've made those decisions concerning sodomy, you know, and the military and such. And the brethren, you know, right now as we speak, already six died today in Missouri from tornadoes. Brethren, here you have this ice storm, record-setting snow, just about record-setting up in Norfolk. It was the third highest total they've ever had. And now we're going to get some rain from it tomorrow night. I hope it ain't storms. But there are tornadoes right now in Missouri, Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi right now as we speak. It's just bad stuff. And I'm telling you, brethren, there's just we don't know what the future holds. But, you know, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. And He's got a task for us to do. And we want to be prepared for that and filled with His Spirit. And look at this upcoming year and whatever happens as an opportunity for the Lord. And brethren, I really believe that this year can be one of the best we've ever had individually, families, and as a church, if we'll let the Lord work in our lives. And I believe if we'll take the heed what He's got for us tonight out of His Word. Won't you take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12 and verse number 20. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then ye shall go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you." Or another way to put it, count your many blessings. "But if you still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king." Father, Lord, I pray you help us now tonight. Father, open your word to us. Lord, I pray that you'd give us what we need. Lord, please, by your Spirit, meet with us tonight. Search our hearts. Help us to search our hearts. And to be open and honest and sincere with you tonight. Lord, help us to get a good running start into the new year. Lord, help us to pause and consider tonight if there's anything we need to get right with Thee. Anything we need to resolve to be better about next year. Anything that needs to be corrected. Lord, help us to consider tonight how good You've been to us this past year and always. And Lord, help us to look with not trepidation, but with anticipation to the upcoming year. Help us, Father, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Brethren, the context of what is going on here in 1 Samuel is the people have asked for a king. They've asked for a king. They've rejected the Lord, and they've asked for a king, and God has given them a king. He's going to give them Saul. And Samuel is going to anoint Saul. And so the people, what's happened is, Samuel has showed the people that they did wrong to ask a king. They did wrong. And God, in fact, God sent a thunder and rain. I think it was a time of harvest, which was an unusual occurrence. And God showed them, the Lord showed them, you did wrong. And they recognized it. They said, "Well, Samuel, we've done wrong. You know, we've done wrong today." And now Samuel's answering them. Now look at verse 19. "And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not, for we had added unto all our sin this evil to ask us a king." So they realize they've messed up. They've messed up. But Samuel's going to tell them from the Lord, "Yeah, you have. But you know what? Get it right and go on. Yeah, you did. You messed up. But here's where you are. Get it right. The Lord's still with you. Move on." Alright? And so let's look at what the Lord said tonight to them. Look here at verse 20. "And Samuel said unto the people, fear not." Fear not. Brethren, as you and I go into the next year, well, you need to settle it tonight that by the grace of God, you're not going to give in to any fears in the upcoming year. And brother, most of the time, brother, when you're saved, God will give you grace for things that come up. The devil wants to cause fear in your life by things that haven't even happened yet. Apprehension, anxiety, what may happen, rumor. Determine, resolve tonight that by God's grace, you're not giving into it. It's not going to happen. That, listen, see, what's going to happen? Did you know there are people tonight, and they're going to party, they're going to get drunk, they're going to get all that. But you know, a lot of people are like in the mindset of tonight. Man, I wonder what's ahead. Things aren't looking good. I wonder what's ahead. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to this nation? What's going to happen to this world? What's going to happen? They're nervous. My goodness, brethren. You and I should approach this next year, like I said in praying a while ago, not with any trepidation, but with anticipation. Lord, what kind of opportunities are afforded me this year? What can I do for you this year that I haven't had a chance to do for you yet? We should look with excitement. I'm not blowing smoke to you. I believe this. Because, brethren, all kinds of people serve God in all kinds of circumstances in that Bible. And if you're saved, your eternity is secured. And you've got a Savior that promised He would never leave you nor forsake you. He'll take care of you. You can live for God. You and I should never be manifesting any kind of fear in our life. Anxiety? Over what? The Lord Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You and I can rest in that. We can glory in that. Take your Bible to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. Look what Samuel said, fear not. And he told it to a people who had just admitted they had disobeyed God. They admitted they had sinned by asking a king. And the Lord had showed His wrath because He had sent thunder and rain. He had sent an unusual occurrence of weather at an unseasonable time. And that shook them up. But Samuel said, fear not. Fear not. You've done wrong, but the Lord's with you. Look here. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, of love, and of a sound mind. I challenge you tonight, as we're on the eve of a new year, I challenge you tonight to determine, to resolve this next year, that any time a spirit of fear comes upon you, that you stand to it, square up to it, face it, and say, this is not coming from God. Because God has given me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. And I reject this. I'm not giving heed to this. You understand me, brethren? Listen, I challenge you to resolve to this next year, anytime anxiety hits you or confronts you, to square your shoulders up, pull yourself up and say, I'm not giving into this. I reject this. Listen, if you're saved, God's given you a spirit of power. And what I mean by power is that you can go. Why? We've heard tonight just different opportunities and witness opportunities. But Kay, that lady there. I mean, look at opportunities, brethren, that are ahead of you and I. Brethren, I was up there preaching in Norfolk this past week, and when I told those brethren, I said, I know there's a lot of folks that are burned over ground. They've heard the gospel, they've rejected it, but you know what? There's a lot of virgin territory out there today. Because there's a generation been brought up under evolution, and they don't know anything. There's some virgin territory to be had. Amen. The burned over ground, well, you can't help that, do what you can, but there's some folks who hadn't heard, and you and I need to say, Lord, put them across my path, or put me across their path, and look with anticipation. God's given you and I a spirit of power. To deal with folks about their soul. To stand up for right when wrong comes against us. Listen, when you get maybe on your job or in school or in the whatever, maybe something happens and you're threatened with losing your job or losing position or somebody lying about you or who knows what kind of... When you feel threatened with anxiety over that, square your shoulders up and say, no, sir. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to fear it. I refuse to fear it. No matter what happens this year, I resolve with the grace of God. They may tell me I'm losing my job. They may tell me this may happen. This is fall through. I resolve by God's grace. I'm not going to fear because that's not of God. God didn't give me a spirit of fear. I'm going to square my shoulders up with the grace of God and I'm going to say, you know what? God's given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. He'll see me through this no matter what happens. And don't give into it. Listen, if you have a spirit of fear, square up to it and say, you know what? God's not giving me that. When you have a spirit of hate or distrust or coming upon you, you need to square up to it and say, that ain't from God. God's given me a spirit of love. If God saved you, He's given you a spirit of power, not to cower down, not to be like everybody else. Oh, what's going to happen? No, sir. We're to be different. He's given you a spirit of love. to love Him, to love others, to not have hatred, bitterness, and strife, and the power of a sound mind. That's what God's given us. And anything else, it's not coming from the Lord, don't give into it. Go to Nehemiah 6. They were told, fear not. Fear not! And brethren, you and I need to resolve this year by God's grace to not give in to fear, because brethren, that's not coming from the Lord. I'll tell you who does want to drive you into fear. The adversary, the enemy. He wants to get you shook up and anxious and fretful and wondering, what's going to happen? Well, I just don't know when you hear all this stuff. Resolve that you're not going to give heed to it. Nehemiah 6, look at verse 10. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple. For they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. What kind of spirit was this man trying to instill in Nehemiah? A spirit of fear. Look what he said. I perceived that God had not sent him. What did we just read? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound. He could tell. This ain't coming from God. But that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, look at this, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. What happened was, brethren, Nehemiah was the head of the Jewish delegation that was rebuilding the wall and everything. He was in charge. And those folks in the other countries, or those folks around the Jews there in the same country, but who weren't Jews, who were watching that, they couldn't stand it because the Jews were getting built back up and they wanted to defeat it. And they couldn't stop it, so they tried to get to Nehemiah. First, they tried to get him scared. If they could get him scared, they could bring an evil report on him. Look at him. He's afraid. He went in the temple to hide. They tried to tempt him to do it. But he saw what was going on, and he wouldn't yield to it. And he didn't. He realized it wasn't coming from God, and he wouldn't yield to it. He wouldn't yield to fear. And he wouldn't yield to those who tried to cause him fear. And that's what the devil's going to try to do to you this year. Don't let him do it. Look here. Go to Job 31. Brethren, fear. I'll put it this way. Giving in to fear brings a reproach to our Savior. And you need to look at it that way. Manifesting, giving in to fear. You may get hit with fear at first. It's going to hit you. But you've got to conquer it by the grace of God. Everybody's going to experience a little feeling of it at times. It's going to hit you first and your flesh is going to... But you need to stop. Grab hold. If you yield to it, you bring a reproach to the Savior. What you're saying is, all I am is all talk. I talk about my God is able. I sing about He's able to, but I don't really believe it. It brings a reproach. Job 31, verse 34. Look what Job said. Did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me that I kept silence and went not out of the door? What Job's talking about here is that he's saying that, you know, he's kind of standing up for himself. He's saying, you know what? I didn't hide myself indoors. I didn't hide myself indoors, afraid of what people were going to say about me, afraid of what things were. I didn't do that. You know what he did? He faced the music. But you know what we all feel like doing at times? Hold it off somewhere. Brother, I don't like controversy. I don't like difficult situations. I don't like things that we have to deal with that are uncomfortable. I don't like those things. I'm sure you don't like them either. I think normal people don't like those things. But brethren, we've got to square up and face them. And we've got to show our children that we do. We've got to set them the right example. Because someday we won't be there. They've got to square up the life. And they've got to face things in God. And brethren, so we can't just hold off somewhere and hide and say, I don't deal with it. We've got to deal with it. And Job did. He said he didn't stay inside and not go out at the doors. He went out and he faced it. And that's what we've got to do at times. And that can be rough when maybe people are saying things about you, or there's rumor about you, or people say, what you got to do? You got to square up, trust God. Go on. And don't give in to a feeling of fear. Brethren, fear manifested in a believer's life brings a reproach to our Lord. Can I say this to you? Nobody can take from you what you don't have. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, so I think it's going to strike a lot of people this year as far as fear is, this economy goes, man, or this. You know what, brethren? if you already realize that what you have is borrowed anyway, it's all God's, and that He's your Father, and He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He'll take care of you. If you realize you don't really have anything but God anyway, in the sense of, you know, they can't take from you what you don't have. I mean, think about it. Let's take this from you. It's not mine anyway. It's Lord. Please let me use it. God says all things are yours. This whole world was so God just lets you have what you need, but it's all His, and He lets you buy. And brother, look here, if your heart's not on it, they can't take it from you. Somebody made a statement one time. He says, you know what? How did the guy put it? He said something like, when you're not afraid to die for what you believe, nobody can shake you up. I mean, think about it. Somebody says, you know, we'll kill you. How are you gonna scare a believer with death? How are you going to scare a believer with death? Well, there was one preacher one time, some guy pulled a gun on him and said, you can't scare me with heaven. Said, you can't scare me with heaven. I said, yeah, preacher, you know, I'll do this to your family. Do this. You know what? You trust God. You trust God. He's my Savior first of all. Brother, there's a song, you know, my Savior first of all. Well, we've got to mean that. And when the Savior's first of all, brother, when you have a loose hold on everything in this life, when you can say, praise God, I love my family. I love the things that God lets me enjoy. But when you can have a loose hold on this life, on the possessions of this life, on your home or your job or your clothes, when you can have a loose hold, then they can't take from you what you don't have in your life. Well, it's great to enjoy it, but you have to take it. It's all right, I didn't have it really anyway. I've got the Lord, and they can't take Him from me. They can't take Him from me. And He's my treasure. He's my treasure. Don't you see, brethren? Keep a loose hold on this life. Enjoy what God allows you to enjoy. But don't put your heart on it. Keep a loose hold. And nobody can take from you what you don't really have. And what you do have is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can't be taken. And that's the treasure. Look here. Fear is defined in the dictionary as this. A painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Anxiety. Brethren, you know what? Usually, fear is the dread of the thing rather than the thing.
Yeah.
Most of the time, face the thing. The thing is bad as the fear. It was all up there. See, it's apprehension, anxiety, expectation. And your Bible tells you not to do that. Your Bible tells you to take the thought for tomorrow. Deal each day as it comes up. Brethren, our attitude and outlook should be different from the world's this year. Go to Joshua 1. Brethren, this world needs to see you with some absolute slap joy in you. The world needs to see you with a smile on your face and a skip in your heart. And I know you say, Brother Dawson, that's unrealistic. No, it has nothing to do with circumstances. It has to do with you and I centered on Jesus Christ. And things are going to happen because the devil wants that joy. Think about it. Jesus said concerning him, the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't take your salvation. He can't take you. He wants to rob from you what he can get, though. So what he knows he can get, he wants to rob. He wants to rob you from joy. He wants to take peace and joy, and he wants to take those things from you. Don't let him have it. Don't let him have it. And brother, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. It's amazing the things we fought for sometimes in our life that really don't matter. But who does the Bible say we wrestle against? Principalities and powers. Are you ready this year to fight them? Are you ready to fight them over some things that are important to you? We need to be willing to fight the powers of darkness over our family, our church, our joy. We need to be willing to fight the enemy and the powers of darkness and say, by the grace of God, you're not getting my joy. You got me down, and I'm a little whooped right now, but I'm getting up by the grace of God. And I'm going to flee to my Savior, and I'm going to go to the Word, and I'm going to take, and I'm not letting you get my joy. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If the devil gets your joy, he gets your strength. Joshua 1 verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? And the Lord's commanded you and I, brethren. Be strong and of good courage. That's a command. That's not a recommendation. That's not a little something to put as a poster on the wall. The Lord said, be a little nice little rah-rah saying. It's a command. He told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Courage, brethren, is not absence of fear. It's going on in spite of fear. It's saying, you know what? The task must be done. Got to go. Here we go. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. But that's a command. The Lord is telling you and I, just like I told Joshua, be not afraid. Because if you're showing fear, you're not showing trust in me. Be not afraid. Brethren, do right. At all times, do right. Any at all times, just do right. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Brethren, this year, purpose by the grace of God that you're not going to... What are we going to do? What's going to... No, sir. My eyes are on the Lord. My eyes are on the Lord. I don't know. What are we going to do? I don't know. I don't know. I can't do nothing. God, you can do everything. Brethren, we need to be like Joseph. While I was up there, I did a study there on Joseph a little bit. And what some of the studies we've done in the 13 to 30 Bible studies. Joseph, everything kept going backwards. And he just stayed faithful. Joseph didn't try to figure out why things were happening. He just determined to do right every day. And if you don't get nothing else tonight, I say, you get what I just said. Don't try to figure out what God's doing. Just determine every day what's right to do and do it. And watch what happens. Brother, do you think Joseph could make sense out of all this? At around 17, God showed him someday his family, he would rule over them. And the next thing you know, his family hated him, sold him as a slave. He's a servant, he's a slave in Potiphar's house. How does that, it don't make any sense. He's not even in his country anymore. But he does right. Potiphar's wife says, lie with me, I won't do it. Surely God knows I'm trying to do right. He gets put in prison. Brethren, how can this make any sense at all? God has showed him, someday you will rule over your family. You're going to be top dog there. I'm in a foreign country. I've tried to do right. I'm in prison now. He didn't try to figure it out. He just did right. And then he interpreted those dreams to the baker and the butler, and they forgot about it 2 more years. But when he finally came out, he came out full bore, buddy. And listen, he ended up head over Egypt, and then his family came down to him, and he wouldn't look for any of that. God brought it all to pass, but he never told Joseph how it was going to happen. God showed him what would happen, but he never showed him how it would happen. And he had to be wondering sometimes, I don't understand. This don't make no sense. If he had tried to figure it out, I believe he lost his crackers. He didn't do that. Joseph just determined from what we see by his life, Joseph just said, well, here I am. What's right to do by God? Let me do it. If things seem to go backwards for you this year in the eyes of the world, if you seem to be demoted or things seem to go backwards, don't fret it. Don't worry about what God's doing. Just make sure things are right in your life and every day do right. This year, every day, do right. When tomorrow becomes today, then do right today. Don't try to figure out what God's doing. Just do right every day. And you'll make it through. Look here. He says, verse 9, be strong with good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. If you're saved, he's with you. Gracious, he's in you. And he knows what he's doing. Trust him. Faith and trust and love doesn't say, show me. Faith, trust, and love says, I trust you. See, the Pharisees, they didn't love the Lord. Show me a sign. Now, those who love the Lord Jesus, what he gave them was enough, and they trusted him. They trusted him. Look here. Real love doesn't go around saying, hey, you prove, show me something. No, once love has been shown, love returns says, I trust you. I believe you. I believe you. You can trust the Lord. You can trust him. Go back now, 1 Samuel 12. Alright, but now attitude, our outlook should be different from the world's this year. Look at verse 20. And Samuel said to the people, fear not. Look what he said next. Ye have done all this wickedness. Go ahead, Samuel. God bless you, brother Samuel. God bless you. Man, that's a prophet of God, buddy, straight up. He's not arrogant. He's not boastful. He's not prideful. But he will call a spade a spade. He didn't mince it around. He didn't say, oh, you know, you guys ain't that bad. He said, yep, you done it all right. He said, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Let me tell you something. Tonight, there's no greater time to squarely face what you've done. Face it and don't make excuses. If you're here tonight, or some other be listening, because I want this to go out. Listen, if you're here tonight, or you're listening on this tape, this recording, if there's something that is unresolved in your life, face it, square up to it tonight, and make it right. Brethren, there's nothing like getting something made right and off your chest. There is nothing like having something that you need to rectify, you need to make restitution for, you need to get it taken care of, and take care of it. If it's somebody you need to write a letter to, write it. If it's somebody you need to seek their forgiveness, seek it. Write them a letter, seek it, tell them, go to, whatever you need to do. If you can take care of it tonight between you and God, do it. If it's something you need to make right with somebody, do it. But face it squarely. Samuel told him, you have done all this wickedness. So brother, if there's something amiss tonight in your life, squarely face it. Don't make no excuses. Look at 1 John 2. I know we know it, but go to 1 John 2. If there would be somebody here, somebody listening on tape, that the Lord's dealing with concerning salvation, no time like tonight. Man, what a great way to enter the new year as a child of God, born anew. 1 John 2 verse 1. 1 John 2 verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Listen, the blood of Jesus avails to save you, to save the whole world, and also to keep you in fellowship after you're saved. If there's something you've done that you need to square up to and get right, the Lord, the blood of Christ avails for it. Get that thing tonight taken care of. Get that thing confessed. Get that thing admitted to God. Get that thing dealt with you and God tonight. If it's someone, then something needs to be made right with someone else, do that. The blood of Christ avails for salvation and to keep fellowship with the Lord for the believer. His blood is still there to avail for us. Look here. Take your Bible, go back to 1 Samuel 12. Look at verse 20 again. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. I want you to remember this. What we're reading tonight, I want you to remember this upcoming year. Look at that phrase there. Look at that part. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord. Now look what he just told them. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. What are we tempted to do when we realize we've done wrong? Quit. Haven't you ever felt like when you've done wrong, just, what's the use? What's the use? What's the use? Brethren, when the Lord saved you, He knew what you were. And He knew how you'd be. And He saved you anyway. Because, listen, not because there's any good in us, but because of His great mercy's sake. And He did the completed deal. And you're secure in Him. And He loves you. And as I said, His blood avails for you and I, even after we're saved. And brethren, the Lord is looking for you and me to get whatever right needs to be made right and pick ourselves up by His grace and move on. Don't get discouraged. How many times? Listen, please, you've got to. Listen. Too often you're listening to the devil and not listening to God. You say, Brother Doug, no, you don't understand me. I don't mean listening to the devil to do evil things. I mean, too often saints listen to the devil when he says, you're a waste. You're just a waste. You know what? You keep doing the same wrong stuff. You know, you just keep, you know, and you just ain't never going. He's trying to drive you down. When if you listen to God and His Word, the Lord says, come to me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord's saying, come to me. Confess it. Get it right. Come on, let's go on now. But you're not listening to Him. You know, sometimes we almost act like the Catholics. We try to beat ourselves or punish ourselves. That ain't going to do you no good. Christ took your punishment. Jesus took your punishment. That's insulting for you to try to take and punish yourself or stay down on yourself. You're insulting Christ and His sacrifice. Stop it. Accept what He's done and get up and move forward. And don't listen to those things about, oh, what if I mess up again? His blood avails. You're complete in Him. Stop doing that. Don't let yourself be discouraged. Look what Samuel said. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord. Brother, look here. When there's wrong in our life, when we've not done right, we tend to get discouraged. And we get down. Don't do it. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't turn aside. Don't give in to despair. Despair is going to hit you. Don't give in to it. Understand what I'm saying, brethren. I'm not saying you're not going to feel despair. It's just a problem. The reason you're liable to get mad at me when I preach is because I'll say something like, don't give in to despair. What you're thinking I'm saying is don't feel despair. I can't help but feel, preacher. I know that. I'm saying don't give in to it. Do you understand? There's a difference. You can't help despair hitting you. You can't help discouragement hitting you. You can't help these things hitting you. Don't give in to it. Do you understand? But I may get discouraged and just want to say, what's the use? Whatever. Just quit. I may feel that. That don't mean I have to give in to it. I can square up. I can go on and do right. And you know when you do that? The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you. So look what Samuel tells me. He says, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. Don't turn aside, brother. Don't do it. Look what he says next. Turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, verse 21, for then should ye go after vain things. You see, I'll tell you right now, if you turn aside from following the Lord this year or any time, you will go after vain things. See, you're going to go after something. You're going to follow something. You're going to you're going to shoot for something. You just are. Okay? Now, if you're not following the Lord, you're going to follow vain things. The word vain in the dictionary means empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance. Brethren, if this year you're not following after the Lord, you're going to go after other things. Brother, and there are so many things you can go after. Brethren, today, because of the information age we're in and because of the amount of time that men have on their hands, you can go after any hobby, pursuit, or anything and become consumed with it. I mean, brother, some things aren't wrong. You know, you take like a, some people like chess, some people like some other game, but some people become obsessed with it. They go after it, it becomes their life. You watch a sports game. Some people become obsessed with it. It becomes their life. I'm going to tell you, if you don't, you want to find out, you'll find out if somebody doesn't follow after the Lord, then they go after other things. They go after a hobby or a pursuit where it becomes their life. You know why? Because you've got to go after something. You got to. You can't just sit around and twiddle. You're going to go after something. The problem is, if you're not following after the Lord, you're going to follow after vain things, things that are empty, things that are worthless, because there's no profit to them because they don't have any eternal benefit. Don't let it happen, brother. If the devil can get you turned aside, he'll get you caught up in all kinds of things. I wonder how many people today who used to be active in church, now when Sunday comes around, they've got season tickets, man, to every ball game. You know what I'm saying? And you know what happened? Here's what happened. They turned aside. But they got to have something to feel, so that's what they're shooting it for. They're taking their time, their money, when they ought to be around the brethren there, and they're doing that. And you know what? And the thing is, it's vain. It's giving them some excitement, but it's an empty, just a quick fix. It's hollow. Because you know what? In eternity, that stuff's not going to matter. So it's and ultimately, as far as eternal matters, it's empty, it's profitless, it's vain, it's worthless. But how did they do that? What happened? They turned aside. Some people do it with their work. They turned aside from the Lord, and now they're consumed with their work. A lot of times people get consumed with something that provides them with a thrill, some excitement, and it does do that. The Bible speaks of the pleasures of sin for a season. But wrong things and the things of this world never benefit ultimately. They never benefit eternally. All right? So listen. Listen, we say that if you don't keep your eyes looking straight forward, brethren, there's nothing wrong with some things as long as it's a clean thing to enjoy. Just, brethren, don't turn aside to it. Brethren, love you watching a ball game, do a little, you know, there's nothing, but brethren, don't turn aside to such things. Don't turn aside. I mentioned chess. Somebody likes to play chess game. That's great. Don't turn aside to it. Don't turn aside to where instead of following the Lord, you're following this now. You're doing this. Listen, if you don't keep your eyes looking straight forward, if you don't follow the Lord, you will go after vain things. Look what it says next. Verse 21, and turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver. The word profit in the dictionary means to benefit, to advantage, to improve, to advance. Vain things can't profit you, especially eternally. And they can't deliver you. They can't give you the help that you really need. They can't. Go to Isaiah 55. Let me give you an example. Look here. Let's suppose somebody watched a college ball game. You know, just enjoyed it. Like, you know. But let's suppose somebody goes after it. Goes after it. They're going after it. And their team loses. And you know what? A shot. Shot. Sorry, man. Listen. Brethren, when they have it, when a hobby, a pastime, or anything will cause us to snap at our family, a line's been crossed. Remember that. A line's been crossed. When it'll cause us to behave improperly toward family or people we love or others, a line's been crossed. We've moved into another level of it that's wrong. I know what I'm talking about. Brother, look here. I told you before, I made a god to pass out the Carolina Tar Heels. I had a cousin who would cry when they would lose. And I bet y'all, we've got SEC people around here. Y'all know people that's cried when there's ball games been lost. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, adults and go. I mean, man, one guy told me one time down in Alabama, there was one guy, I guess Alabama Auburn fans, one of the guys was rolling the yard laughing just for joy. The other guy came in his yard so mad, they're not going to fight. Well, I'm sure there's been many of them. It's like, you know what? Somebody's going after something. They're going after something. They're going after something. They're missing a mark with something. And brother, look here. So remember that when something, brother, you're going after something, when it's causing you to behave, when the thing don't work out like you want it to, and it adversely affects you and your attitude toward others, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Remember that. Brother, when we're keyed in with God, then you can enjoy other things out there, as long as they're not wrong things, with a good and balanced attitude. To where it don't get you to where you're like, your whole life and your day, things are just... Remember that. And it can happen to so many things. Brother, because this year I want you and I in this church to have one of the best years we've ever had, powerfully, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't turn aside after vain things. And something can become... You turn aside to it, brother, when it starts consuming and affecting you. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Man, brethren, so often we spend money for things that aren't bread. In other words, things that don't satisfy. You know what I'm saying? See, brethren, we need to spend our life. We need to spend our life, our time, on something that satisfies, that benefits you. Brethren, let me tell you something. It's not wrong to have a sucker. And it's not wrong to have some candy. And it's not wrong to have something sweet, and most of us like that. But if you spend on that for your nourishment, you're going to be in bad shape. Your teeth's gonna rot out, probably. You're gonna have some diabetes problems probably later on. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, if that was your main source of nourishment, rather than, you know what? Every now and then we got some desserts tonight. I'm hoping. Yeah, that's good. But you know what, brethren? There's some things that are staples that you just need to build. The Bible speaks of bread and even for your heart and such. Listen to me. Let me say something to you. The Bible says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Brethren, there are some things in this life. I guess I just mentioned about ball games or even hobbies or let's suppose somebody like play golf or whatever like that. And there's some things in life that, you know what? That's almost like a lollipop, you know? Some they did it, you know, and enjoyed it. But you know what, brethren? If a person takes and spends and spends and expends on that, it's not bread. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to satisfy them. It's not going to fulfill that need that they got inside. It's not going to profit them eternally. They're spending and expending for that which is not bread. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Spend and expend yourself on the things of God. And that will satisfy you, deliver you, and profit you eternally. Take your Bible. Brethren, let me go back to 1 Samuel 12. Let me say this, that they're vain because they don't line up with God and His Word. They're vain because they don't line up with God and His Word. Some things, brethren, as long as they're honest, just, of good report, of any virtue, any praise, some things, brethren, are okay as long as you don't become consumed with them. Again, remember this, I've told you before. If it's wrong, abstain from it. If it's right, be moderate with it. Abstinence in wrong things, moderation in right things. All right, look at verse 22. 1 Samuel 12, 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you His people. Go to Hebrews 13. You know what Samuel tells him? He says, God's not going to forsake you. God's not going to forsake you. And brethren, if it was true for Israel, how much more is it true for you and I in whom Christ abides? He was with Israel. He's in you. If you're saved, He's in you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Man, that ought to be your watchword this next year. That ought to be your watchword. Look at that word, boldness, boldly. See, brethren, do you know why people, saved or lost, do you know why people start fretting over what might happen to the economy? They're afraid of losing what they got. Why did I say at the start of this thing? Can't lose what you don't have. Be content with such things as you have. For He had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't you realize, brethren, you're all right. If you're saved, you're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. I didn't say we'd always have everything we would like to have, this and that, but you're going to be all right. If you're saved and will trust the Lord, you're His. You're God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, not proudly, not arrogantly, but boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. What a statement this year. What a statement to be able to stand up if the adversary starts trying to mess with you and get you shook up. Man, look what's happening over here. Look what's happening here. We don't know what's going to happen. What's going to happen to our jobs? What's going to happen to the banks? What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen with this and that? And you can stand and boldly say, just look here, to boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Brethren, you got it licked. You got it licked. The world needs to see someone that will stand, not arrogantly, not smugly, but boldly, the Lord's my helper. And I want to tell you something. When you say that, you'd be surprised if other Christians will say, tell you what, you know what? Too many Christian ministries major in producing fear. Your Bible doesn't. Your Bible produces hope. But too many ministries, too many times the believers just seem to enjoy this thing of, ooh, getting you all. Yes, sir. The boldness of the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. You know what the world will say? What's wrong? Is he crazy? Is he crazy? Sadly, other Christians will possibly say it about you. You know, always believe God. My Savior said, take no thought for the morrow. My Lord said that the fowls of the air, the lilies of the field toll not nor they spin. He feeds the fowls of the air. He said, I'm better than the sparrows. I'm better than the fowls of the air. Brethren, you remember this. Do you think them birds you saw today, any birds you saw, do you think they're going around going, what's 2011 hold? What's going to happen? Where's seed going to come from? Do you think they're going around going, start while crashes, we're done. Then we're bird feed for us. Walmart goes out of bird seed. And these little ladies no longer throw it out in the yard. We're done. Brethren, they're not doing that. You understand? They're not doing that. The birds don't worry about it. The ravens don't. You're better than them. As a person, as just a human, you're better than them. But you're saved. He abides within you. No place for fear. No place for fear. So we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I'll not fear what man should do unto me. That doesn't mean that man won't try. But the Lord's my helper. He'll take care. He fed Elijah. He took care of Elijah. Brook dried up, he still took care of him. Take no thought for tomorrow. You can live in that. You can live in that. You can have some joy. Look here. If you're the Lord's, he'll not forsake you. He will look after and take care of you. Go back to 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12, verse 23. Now here's where your pastor gets popped pretty good. Look what Samuel said. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Well, I covet your prayers on that. Because my task is to pray for you and teach you the good and right way. That's really hit me. I've been thinking about that this week. I've been thinking on that. In fact, if I don't, brethren, it's sin in my life, I believe. Samuel said, more of it's for me. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. Samuel said if he stopped praying for those people, it would be a sin against God. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Well, that's my part. That's my part. My part this year for you folks under the Lord is to pray for you and to teach you the good and the right way. Go to Jeremiah 6. What kind of way am I supposed to teach you this year? The good and the right way. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, Samuel said that he was going to pray for them and teach them the good and right way. Look what the Bible says is the good way. The old paths. The old paths is the good way. That's what I'm supposed to do for you, brethren. This year and every year. As I cross over, it comes home to me so much again. I need to pray for you and teach you the good and right way. The way of the old paths. Not the new stuff. Not the new stuff, not the new music, not the new ways of looking at things, not the new Bible, the old paths. That's the good and the right way. Go to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, verse 15. Jeremiah 18, verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not, look at this, cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. They chose another way to walk in, rather than in the ancient paths, the old paths, in a way not cast up. You see, a cast up way would be a highway. Have you ever noticed the roads down here? They're, if you will, cast up. They're highways. Notice how they're built up higher than the land, so it drains off. It drains off. The look at the roads that we drive. Notice how they're up. And most roads are like that, so you can drain off. But look here. It's the highway. A highway. A cast up way. The ways of the world are the low ways. The low passages. Where the water builds and where you go off and you step off in something you thought was a little puddle and you drown in the thing. I mean, amen. I hear that happens a lot in Florida and you go off the side of the road. People drown like that. You know, because it's just, boy, it's deeper than what somebody thought. a way cast. Brother, listen, if you'll stick to the ancient paths, the old paths, those are cast up ways. Those are highways. You're safe footing. You won't sink. You won't get in over your head. You won't get in over your head. But if you depart, if you take a side path, if you get off the old paths, and you take this newfangled stuff today, the emerging church, that filth and these new Bibles and contemporary music, if you get off the old paths, the ancient paths, that cast up way, that highway, if you get off those ways, you know what you're going to do is you're going to get in low ways. And you're going to, you know what you're going to do? You're going to sink. You're going to step in places that are low places and get in over your head. You won't get in over your head with what next year's got for you if you'll stay on the old paths. If you'll stay on the cast up ways, that's my task. That's what I'm supposed to do, is teach you the good and right way. What's the good way? The old paths. What are the old paths? The ancient paths. A cast up way. You won't get in over your head this year. You'll be all right. You won't get over your head. You won't get overwhelmed if you'll stay on those old paths. Look here. Take your Bible. Go back to 1 Samuel 12. By the grace of God, I'll try to pray for you and teach you the good and the right way. I better. As I approach this next year, that's what I've got to wrestle out with God. I've got to wrestle out with God to make sure that I'll teach you people the good and the right way. Now here's what you've got to wrestle out. Will you try to follow the good and the right way? If I give you the old paths, if I give you the cast up way, will you resolve tonight and all this year to walk in those good and right and ancient ways and paths that way cast up? 1 Samuel 12, look at verse 24. Look what it says. Samuel now says to them, he says, verse 23, I will teach you the good and the right way. Then he says, only fear the Lord. Only fear the Lord. So, brethren, this is something. We started out with fear not. Now he says, fear the Lord. So we've told you what not to fear. Let me tell you what to fear. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Listen, the devil is the great usurper. The devil is the great turner up on its head. That's what he does. But the devil doesn't invent anything. Do you realize this? The devil doesn't invent anything new. The devil can only work with what God has established. Did you know that? All the devil can work with is what God's established. So what he does is he takes what God has established and does the only thing he can with it. Tries to turn it upside down. God says marriage, man and a woman. The devil says, I turn it around. Man and a man, woman and a woman. See what I'm saying? God says up, the devil says down. You see what I'm saying? What the devil, he's got to work with what God has established. So what he just does is turn it upside down. That's all he does. All right? Look here. So you know what the devil tries to do? God says, don't fear man. Don't fear anything. Fear me. Fear me. You know what the devil says? Don't be afraid of the Lord. Live any way you want. Don't worry about holiness and righteousness. But be afraid of the economy. Be afraid of what's going to happen to the weather. Be afraid of the environment. Be afraid of what happened. Be afraid of these things. Don't you see, brethren? The devil wants you to be afraid of the things you're not to fear. And he wants you not to fear the one thing you are to fear. And that's the Lord. Fear the Lord. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 8:13 what the fear of the Lord is. And we go over it so much in Proverbs, I'll just touch it lightly here, but you know what it is. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and a froward mouth do I hate. That's what you're to hate this year. That's the fear of the Lord. Determined, resolved tonight that by the grace of God, you're going to hate pride this year. When it comes up in your life, you're going to stomp it. You're going to eradicate it. You're going to hate pride. Arrogancy, evil way, the froward mouth. You're going to fear the Lord. Alright? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There you go. Don't fear this world. Don't fear the things that come up. Don't fear that stuff. The Lord's with you. Fear God. And you fear God by hating evil. It says verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him. Serve Him. The word serve in the dictionary means to work for, to bestow the labor of body and mind in the employment of another, to attend at command, to wait on. The Bible says after the Lord saved us, we're His workmanship created under good works. Serve Him, brethren. Serve Him. This year, look here. Fear the Lord and serve Him. Wait on Him. Determine by the grace of God, brethren, that you're going to say, Lord, show me. If you'll show me an opportunity to serve you in, I want to do it. Lord, however I can serve you by serving the brethren, the church, others. Lord, show me, but I just want to serve. I guarantee if you report for service and say, Lord, I want to serve, He'll find a place. He'll find a place. Lewis says next, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth. So the Bible tells you how to serve the Lord. You can't just, you see, here's what too many people do. They serve the Lord the way they want to. You ever had somebody, brother, I've had it happen through the years. Remember years ago, I had this happen with an individual. This person would love to do something for you that they wanted to do. And that's great. That's fine. But when you needed them to do something, they won't do it. But if you want to do something for somebody, that's great. That's good. But if you want to be a real friend, if you really want to serve somebody, serve where they need you to, when they need you to. Do you understand? Sean, you know what, Sean, if I was to take and take you, my brother, and go and say, hey, Sean, I'll take me. Here's a coupon for something. Sean, just want to do something for you. Just want to do it, Sean. Happy to do it. Amen, brother. And then you call me up and you say, brother, I need you. We're in a tight spot. Something's happening. I need you. Could you do this? I watch the kids or something like that. You know, me and Eve got to take care of this. Could you take? Sean, see what I can do. You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's not that I can't, it's just I don't want to. Well, you know what? I did what I wanted to do for you. I did what I wanted to do for you, but what you needed for me to do, I didn't want to do that. That's not being right, brethren. And what I'm saying is, brethren, don't serve the Lord like you want to and when you want to. Serve Him in truth. But the Bible says, the Lord Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. If you want to serve the Lord this year, you're going to have to serve Him according to that book. You have to serve Him according to truth. Not just the way you want to. So that's what we want to do. We want to do what we want to do. We want to serve our way, what we think is right, and not like what God wants to. And we want the Lord to just accept our service. Or whether He will accept it, if it's according to His Word. Samuel said, serve the Lord. Serve Him, rather, in truth. Look what he says next. With all your heart. With all your heart. With all your heart. So, brother, look here. It's like the old saying, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Brother, you know something? Enthusiasm is contagious. Brother, that's why, you know, this little church means is so a blessing to me. I want to mean this little building here. Because, you know, when you folks sing, I love how you sing, brother. You put it out with your heart. Do it this year. Brother, resolve. That when you sing, you're never going to sing. You're never, ever, by the grace of God, ever going to sing to God again. Just, the cleansing wave, I see. How can we do that? How can we do that? How can we sing about such a Savior, such a salvation like that? You resolve that by the grace of God, you're going to, with everything you've got, with all your heart, sing out to Him. Brethren, I believe if something's worth doing, it's worth doing with everything I got. Brother Tim was picking at me the other night because he knows I believe that kind of thing, you know. And he kind of picked at me a little bit and he says, yeah, brother, when you was throwing up, you did it with all your... brother, I'll tell you what, I hate up chucking because I do. It, my whole body gets in on the act from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Some people may just kind of go, for me, brethren, it is... all shebang, buddy, all full bore. It's not good. Poor Ellie. She, Daddy, I heard you scream. I didn't scream. That was how bad I was. It woke the whole house up. I know Brother Tim and Jackie were thinking, I know what they're going through. They woke up. She ran in the living room. She said she just couldn't stand it. And I know Brother Tim, I know what they were thinking. The bedroom he's in is trash now. It's like Jamie said, they're probably thinking, let's find some disaster relief place to come in and clean this place up. I'm sure they were thinking the hallway, the back. But I had enough sense. I could tell what was going to be coming later that night. I made preparation. I had me a bucket and I had me some. But Ellie told me, God bless her. She said, Daddy, I prayed for you, but I prayed like that. Had her hands over. But I mean, I did it with all my ability, I reckon. But you know, brethren, I'll tell you something. In all seriousness, you know what? Whatever we do, Do it to the best of your ability. Do whatever you got. Especially if it's for the Lord, it's worth doing with your whole heart. Give it your everything. Enthusiasm. Listen, devotion, earnestness, enthusiasm. Go to Ecclesiastes 9. Bless Sarah's heart. She's a good one. She was right there with me. That's one of the times where you realize, yeah, you remind you the honeymoon's over, ain't it? But she is a good one. Of course, bless her heart, if I had passed out on that floor on what she'd have done. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4. Look here. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Amen. I love that book. You see, look here. You're alive, aren't you, right now? There's hope. You see, Brother Dawson, I wish I could have done better. Well, I know what you mean. Know the feeling. But you can't do anything about yesterday. But you're alive. There's hope. The enemy, you know what the enemy tries to tell you? Hopeless. For to him that is joined to all the living, there's hope. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you give in to despair. You're alive. There's hope. For a living dog's better than a dead lion. I mean, lion's pretty majestic, buddy. Lion's pretty good. But if it's laying there dead, a living dog's better than that. A living dog's better than a dead lion. Man, you know, those old guys of old, you know, like Wesley and Spurgeon, you know, and Livingston and all like that. They're dead, brethren. We may be look like living dogs in comparison to those, but those are dead lions. They're gone. Here we are. Let's do the best we can for the Lord. Look here. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done in the sun. Go thy way. Eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Look at that. You know what God wants you to have? Joy. Eat thy bread with joy. I hope every one of you can sit down at the table and eat your food and do it with happiness and joy and say, thank the Lord. No matter what it is. You know what happens when people can't do that? They become fat epicures. See, an epicure doesn't appreciate food. He critiques food. Do you understand what I'm saying? An epicure, you know what? And you know why? Let me tell you something. Do you think that man out there working all day, I mean hot and tired, do you think he looks and says, now what would be the right thing? He's like, man, give it here. And he starts shoveling it in. You understand? It's like a fellow said, a cross-cut sawmill, you love pinto beans like nobody's business. That's it. I mean, you know, an epicure, he's not doing any work. Well, this would be... They're food critics. They're food critics. A working man, he's not a food critic. He just wants to get it in. He's hungry. Brother, you know what? When we sit and critique, that's what's happening today, brother. In our churches, you know, we're so used to outlining and alliteration. Messages get critiqued rather than a hungry people getting fed. Brother, you should never come in to look at something with a critical eye. Well, how was it outlined? How was it done? Hey, man, you ought to come in hungry and just get fed. You know how you do that? You get busy for the Lord. You work off what God has given you. You get a good appetite. Brother, look here. I just would feel silly looking at something going, you know, this dish would, God, look, how to taste. I'm hungry. You know? I want to eat it. But look at our society today. Well, you can tell that we're bad off, brethren, because everybody has devoted to this thing. We've become epicures, like the Bible speaks of in Acts. Everything's all about, you know, food to the point it's an art form. Come on, man. Food was meant to eat. Food was meant to eat. Not to be an art form that it was like, you know, to be all done up about, you know, and all and people raved over. And I'll tell you, a lot of those jokers are as effeminate as a day is long. They're as effeminate as a day is long. Foods to eat. Of course you like it to look good and taste good. I can't wait, Lord willing, a little bit to get in. Well, we got back, amen. But brethren, look here. Be careful that you don't become a spiritual epicure. A critique, a food critic, a spiritual food critic, rather than somebody that's hungry and just looking to get fed and devouring it. Look here. Go thy way. Eat thy bread with joy. Drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God hath accepted thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head like no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which hath given thee unto the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest unto the sun. There you go. This coming year. Amen. Enjoy your food. Thank God for it. Enjoy your family. Look at verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Here we go. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. Someday you're not going to be able to do anything for Jesus. But you can now. And whatever you find to do, don't compare it with what other people do. Just whatever it is your hand finds to do, do it with everything you've got. If it's sing, sing with everything you've got. If it's cleaning something or doing something, whatever it is for the Lord, do it with everything you've got. Everything you've got. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Enthusiasm! It catches! Look here. I'm about done. But 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart. Serve the Lord in truth according to His Word and do it with all your heart. And look at the final thing here. Here's the whole reason why. For consider how great things get done for you. You know why we ought to do all these things? Consider how great things He's done for you. Brethren, it's all just whipped cream with cherry on top. I deserve hell. Should have been in hell. Seriously. Should have been in hell. Should not be here. God had every right, even after I was saved, to take me out of here. I marvel. At His patience. I marvel at His long suffering. Consider. You know what the word consider in the dictionary means? To fix the mind on with a view to a careful examination. To think on with care. To ponder. To study. To meditate on. Some of you in this room know that since you've been saved, God has had mercy on you in some matters. And you were just... there's been times since you've been saved, you've cried out to God for mercy. Just begged Him to have patience with you. And He has. And God has bestowed on you, some of you in this room, some blessings and some things that you know, Lord, You've been so good to me. Lord, I've not done you right, but You've done me so right. You know why we ought to do these things? You know why we ought to resolve to do these things tonight as we approach this next year? Because we ought to consider how great things He's done for us. Look what He's done and He's doing in your life. That's why we ought to resolve that these things be in our life and be our watchwords in the upcoming year. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this. Lord, Lord, I thank You for the folks here tonight. And Father, I wish I could extract everything that, Lord, these passages are so rich. Lord, please work around my fumbling attempts to convey these rich truths. But Father, by Your Spirit, Father, please can pull out and convey the richness and all that's in these verses to us tonight. Lord, that we'd cross over to this next year purposed and resolved. Not fearing the things of this world or the enemy, but fearing Thee. Serving Thee in truth with all our heart. Considering, Lord, great things You've done for us. Lord, help me, Father, as a pastor of these people, to pray for them and teach them the good and the right way. The ancient paths, the old paths, the cast up way. And Lord, then help us to walk in them. Lord, help us, dear God, to see by Your grace one of the greatest years we've ever seen. Lord, we don't know what may hold. But Lord, help us to go into this year boldly, without fear, and continue such an attitude. Help us to hold tight to You, Lord, this year, and be purposed, Lord. And we're not going to give in to discouragement or dismay. Those things may attack us, but Lord, help us to purpose not to give in to them. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us, Lord, to the fullest of our ability to be filled with your Spirit and power this year. And Lord, help us to be able to say that this year we fought a good fight, finished our course for this year and kept the faith and, Lord, made the difference in this area that we're supposed to make for you. And help us, Lord, to do everything to the best of our ability with our whole heart. Father, if there's anything that we need to get resolved or made right with thee tonight, help us to do so. And go into this next year in the right way. We ask this, Father, in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.